and for the reading of the Word of God. It's a joy to be here at Gateway Baptist Church again this year. Wasn't it great last night? And getting off to a good start this morning. And so I'm just going to kind of get up and get down, let some of these other preachers that can preach get up here. And I've come for help, Brother Pastor. I need this meeting. Not many meetings over the country like this one. And I'm glad this makes about my 11th year being here, and I've always got help. And if you've come this morning, if you'll just stay with it, I believe you'll get help before the week's over. And so let's just have a great time in the Lord. If you've turned over in Psalms chapter 55 for the sake of time this morning, in verse number 16, we find here, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." I find David in Psalms 55 as a troubled man. His heart's broken. There's been some disappointments in his work, in his walk of life. And how many of us here this morning has not walked that walk of life? Heartaches, troubles, discouraging. And so we see David's been battling some things, not only with the immediate family, but with some enemies that's from the outside. Until they tell us that he had got over to Solomon's porch, and he was standing there with his broken heart, and is asking God to deal with those that were against him. And a little dove came in verse number 6 and settled in on the porch of Solomon over there. And David stood and watched that little dove until, Brother Phillips, it made us rise and it lifted way out yonder in the elements of the earth until after a while it disappeared in the media. In verse number 6, David said, "Oh, if I had wings like a dove, I'd soar away. I'd get away from it." But David couldn't do that. But when I get down to Psalm 17, David said, "Evening, morning, and noon, I prayed." Folks, I want to tell you, we got a prayer line we can get to this morning. Brother Bill preached to us last night. Thank God, I'm glad I'm in the family. I'm under the blood. I'm glad, thank God, he made me an heir to the kingdom this morning. I want to tell you, glory to God, we can just come to him seemingly when we can't get away from it, seemingly when kindly troubles come our way. I'm so glad this morning, thank God, I can just get along the evening, morning, and noon, thank God, and get a hold of him, and he'll set us for the day. He'll give us the grace that we need. He gives us the strength that we got to have for the hour, thank God, just to press on for the glory of God. I realize here this morning is looking in this verse that maybe David used it a little different than we normally would in these days. He said evening, then morning, and then noon. Three things I want to speak to you about this morning. I'll just get out of the way. But I'm going to tell you this morning, thank God, we've got a God who's still on the throne. I don't know how dark it might look over your way. But I'm telling you, there's some dark valleys we've walked in. As far as our nation this morning, it looks kind of bleak. But I want to tell you, I'm glad we got one that's on the throne this morning. He's got it all in his hands. We're going to come out on the other side as the children of God, thank God. Hey, with a glorified body like his, walking the streets of gold, shouting the praise of God. Hey, friend, I'm just planning on staying with him today and just keep on walking with him, Brother Pastor, until the day's done. And so David said, "I prayed, I called on God." How is he? He said, I went to him in the evening. If you will, go back with me. Go over with me to Luke chapter 24 this morning. And I see a thought here that I believe God will speak to our hearts with this morning. In Luke 24, I find it, as David said, I prayed in the evening, and God moved, and God intervened for me.
in those prayers, I see a group of folks here at a troubled hour. As we see in Luke chapter 24 at the resurrection. And we see Cleopas and some of them has made their way over to Jerusalem. They've heard that the Lord Jesus has been crucified. And their hearts are broke. They're discouraged in the work. They said, we thought he was going to be our redeemer. And he'd redeem Israel out of their sins. And he said, they've crucified him. And they're on their way back to Emmaus now from Jerusalem. Their captives are sad, according to Jesus. And their hearts are broke. And they commune one with another in the sadness. They say, he's gone. All of a sudden, Jesus appears with them. And we see here in verse number 29, the Bible said, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Amen. Thank God, brother pastor. They had an evening experience with Jesus. He said, why are you so sad? Why is your captives? And their eyes was beholding. They couldn't recognize who he was. As he joined them in the journey. And you know what he did? He just took the old 16:11 of the old prophets and he began to teach them the word of God. You'd say, preacher, if Jesus was down here today, what Bible would he preach out? He preached out of this one right here. He'll preach you out of it today if he's here too.
Sure.
And brother pastor, he just talked of the old prophet and begin right out of this old 16:11 and expound to them the word of God. Until they said, boys, he traveled us, our hearts burned within us, didn't it? I want to tell you this word right here will get to your heart.
Yeah.
Brother, I want to tell you this book will move on you if you're not awful careful. Just hang around it, it'll help you. I'm here to tell you, Jesus made that journey. I mean, they're going through a broken hour. Their hearts were sad. He's the one, no doubt, is to redeem Israel. I want you to know, thank God, down in the evening, as the night was setting in, as he would make to them, he'd go on, and they compelled him to come in. And so he came in, and they made a meal, and there they sat to eat. And Jesus, as they set the table, the Bible said, and he broke bread, and he blessed it. And their eyes was open, and they saw him. Now they had been to another bread breaking back in Luke chapter 9, over when Jesus fed the 5,000. You know what he did? He just took that little boy's five loaves and two little fish, and he began to break it. And he just kept breaking loaves and breaking loaves and breaking loaves and breaking fish and breaking fish till he fed the 5,000 plus the children and their mothers free. And I don't know, just coming in, turning from Jerusalem. And they had much time, brother pastor, to my opinion, to fix a meal. But they did set bread. And all of a sudden, Jesus just started blessing and breaking the bread. And their eyes was open as immediately as he broke the bread. I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't know how dark it is over your way. I don't know what's fell in on you, around you. Hey, the troubles, the sorrows, this might come your way. But thank God, if you'll just get with him in the evening, thank God. I'm glad he can start breaking bread, and he'll start passing out, and he'll start blessing your soul, friend. And I'm telling you, you can have a meeting with Jesus in the evening. And he vanished out of their sight. And you know what happened? They lost their appetite. They jumped up, headed back to Jerusalem to say, hey, he's alive. He's not dead. We've seen him. I want to tell you, this old world don't understand us. But thank God, when God moves in and God moves around their heart, we can say, hey, he's not dead yet. Thank God, he's still alive. I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to stir up. God wants to do something in our hearts in these days. Brother Brian, I just got through filling in for a little church for 10 months. I went to that church that had a preacher for 43 years. He was only a teacher. He didn't allow nobody to say amen. He didn't allow nobody to get up and testify. I mean, listen, on Wednesday night, I said to him after I'd been there Wednesday night or two, I'd like for us to have a family altar prayer together around the altar. And they just sat there and looked at me. I'm talking about an independent Baptist church. And they didn't know what it was to meet around the altar and have prayer as a church. You say, what'd you do? I just preached this whole book. First three Sundays I was there, I scared that outfit to death. Man, they looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. When the service over, they run. But you know what I did? I just loved them folks, and I said, now, folks, just stay calm. I'm not here to stay for your pastor. We're going to help get you one, but I'm going to try to help you in some areas that you need help. And I just rode back, brother pastor, and I just preached, and I just preached. And you know what happened? They fell in love with it. Fell in love with it. I just talked to some of them, to one of the deacons Sunday night. He said, preacher, you ought to have been with us today. He said, the choir got singing. They got lifting their hands, praising God. Said, folks got running down to the altar even before the preacher preached. And said, we had one saved. And said, God's moving. Said, we've never experienced it. But he said, we sure do like it.
Amen.
It all come from my little bit around the altar of those evenings just meeting with the Lord. And since I was there until just Sunday, there's been 16 saved and baptized in the fellowship of that church. Now listen to this. There had not been one soul saved in that church in 15 years. Hear me this morning. You say, preacher, what is it going to take? It's going to take us. Take some evenings and just get along with Jesus. Let him start breaking that bread for us, breaking this old blessed word of God in our hearts. I mean, as Brother Bill said last night, us just clean up and say glory to God. I'm already marked with the blood, and I'm going to go with Jesus. I'll just serve him. Hey, let me say, fellas, this morning, we just need that evening experience with the Lord Jesus. And just let him do a work in our hearts, in our lives. They were discouraged. He was there to be their redeemer. He was to redeem Israel from their sins, and yet he's gone. But the moment that he broke that bread, they said, no, he's not dead. He's alive. I'm going to tell you, you get around where Jesus began to work in your heart and life, and you can tell others, he's alive. He's alive. Oh, let me see. There's churches all over this country. Pastors discouraged. They're down this morning. But I'm going to tell you, every need they have lies right here in this blessed word of God. We just need to get into it and study it and get along with him. And David, in a storm of his life, he said, when God didn't deal with my enemies, he said, I got along. And at evening and morning and noon, thank God, God give me deliverance. God brought a victory in David's heart. Turn with me, if you will, just over a few pages to John chapter 21. In John chapter 21 this morning, and we find that here's another experience that we have as the brethren had with the Lord Jesus. We find Peter here now. In John chapter 21. And the Bible said in verse number 4, as Peter had already used the influence, I'm going back fishing. Jesus said, Peter, I want you to be fishers of men. But Peter had somewhat of an influence. He was a professional fisher. He knew how to fish. He knew how to catch a fish. At the Sea of Galilee, it's warm during the days, hot, and they wait up until the night, and then those fish, as the water cools off, comes back from the bottom of the Sea of Galilee toward the top, and Peter pretty well knew where they were at, and he had been a great fisherman in his day. But we find Jesus here in verse number 4. He said, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore
But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In the morning, Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." But they said, "We go back fishing." Yep. Who was it that said to Peter, "Peter, that's the Lord"? It was the beloved disciple. And that was John. It's hard to think that John would have left Calvary and gone back in the fishing trade when Jesus said, "I want you to be fishers of men." But let me say, fellas, us don't put them down too much. We've come to that place. I'll have to admit, some Sunday nights in my pastorate, I went home discouraged. I went home with a broken heart. And I said, "I'm going to resign. I'll just give me a job and go back." Seemingly don't want to hear. They don't want my leadership. I'm just going to confess to you this morning. 42 years of pastoring, I had some dark Sunday nights. Jesus has had to come to me of many a Monday morning and say, "Do you love me?" And I'm glad, glory to God, we can have those morning experiences with Jesus. Almost backslid, almost out of the will of God. I'm glad, glory to God, Jesus said, "Hey, do you have any meat?" And Peter had to say, "No, a professional had it. I mean, a man is well at his trade." And no doubt an impassioned hour for him. He said, "No, we have no meat." Jesus said, "Why don't you just cast your net on the right side and you shall find." Sometime I just had to get off of my side and just get on his side. Woo! Business would pick up. I'm here to tell you, glory to God, I was ready to mount the pulpit on Wednesday night. I went back with a love in my heart. I'd been almost broken, but thank God. Seemed on Wednesday night, God would just do something special. Hey, in the hour, I'm here to tell you this morning, church, I'm glad there's some morning experiences that you can have with Jesus this morning. If you just get along with him, thank God. He didn't only show up that late in the afternoon, but he'll show up early in the morning. Woo! Glory to God. Old Peter cast that net on the right side, caught such a multitude of fish he'd never seen before. It's one of his miracle catches. Ask one of them you horseshoe pitchers could talk about, "Man, I made a ringer." And you won't do the next game because you won that game. Well, you know, that's what happened to Peter here. He never did go back fishing. You don't have no record from here that Peter ever went back fishing. I caught his miracle catch. Trophy he could hang on the wall. Something he could talk about the rest of his time. But the next time you see Peter, he's not saying one thing about it. He's telling you about the Jesus he met. Edmund's heart. I mean, I'm telling you here, we can get up and tell our stories. We can get up and tell our problems. We can get up and tell the valleys we've been through. But thanks be unto God, there's a people out here today that needs to see Jesus. They need to know him. They need to know his power. They need to know his grace, salvation, thank God. And we just, in our morning experiences with Jesus, get that renewed spirit and go for the day. I'm here to tell you this morning, David said, with a broken heart, evening, morning, and noon, I prayed unto the Lord. Let me say, church, this morning, I'm glad, glory to God, we have him that we can go to anytime.
Thank you, Lord.
He loves us. Church, he's not forgot about us. Missionaries, preachers, he's not forgot about you this morning. I'm glad, glory to God, he knows all about you. And he knows where you're at. But how much time do we spend a meeting with him? Evening, morning, and noon. Then just back in John chapter 4, I'll come to a close. I find the Lord Jesus here in John chapter 4. See a lady that's embarrassed herself. She's lived a life that's brought shame and a reproach. upon her. How she's messed her life and she's wasted a way of life until that she had such a marks until the ladies of the city would not go to the well with her to draw water. But Jesus, on his way from down in Jerusalem, in Judea, and heading back to Jerusalem in Galilee. The Bible said in verse 6, when Jacob's well was there, Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's noon. Evening, morning, and noon. Here's a girl who needs help, not physically, but she needs spiritual help. Her physical has shamed her. Her physical has separated her. Her walk of life has seemed somewhat marked her. And she comes to the well, and as soon as she gets to the well, look what a blessed Savior we have. Would you give me to drink? And all of a sudden, she backs up and says, I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. And the Jews hasn't no fellowship with the Samaritans. Jesus just said, honey, if you just knew who I was, if you just asked of me. Woo. Brother Bill placed it so well last night. He said when they get ready to get saved, he'll save them. But until you get ready, you can't. I'm here to tell you, friend, here's a girl, birth marked. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus starts discussing her life and said, how about going calling your husband? Yeah. And she said, I have no husband. He said, you say you didn't. Yeah. You've had five. And the one that you're with now is not yours. And he began to let her know, I know your life. I know who you are. I know where you've been. Boy, it shook her. And I won't tell you what, that Sunday morning in the 11 o'clock hour, second Sunday, 1960, in Old Maple Springs Baptist Church, he got dealing with me about some things that I didn't know he knew about. But in that noonday hour, thank God, the second Sunday in August. It'll be 51 years this coming August that he saved me by his marvelous grace. And I want to tell you, thank God, this is good today. As it was 51 years ago, we'll be free. And I want to tell you, thank God, he put a seal on me. I with the blessed blood. I want to tell you, it's been good for 51 years. Some of you young folks here this morning say, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Get you a good noonday experience with the Lord Jesus. You'll make it. I'm telling you, thank God he'll help you this morning. Brother Pastor, I come to get help this week. And I'm looking forward, said, to feed of these other brethren that preaches. Just get my heart stirred and just go back and do what I can for God in these days. Brother Brian, I hope God will give me another one of them our dead independent Baptist churches that hadn't seen what I've had. And just let me break another knee in glory to God. I'm going to tell you, this thing's real. This thing works. I'm telling you, this is a glory and the power of God. And you'd say, well, how did they sit there 43 years? They didn't know any different. But when they saw the difference, they fell in love with it. This old gal didn't know the difference. But when Jesus said, if you give me to drink, she said, sir, the well's deep and you have nothing to draw with. He said, you don't understand, ma'am. If you'd just ask me of this water, I've got living water. If you just drink of this living water, it'll spring up into you like a well. And she said, give me to drink. She saw that there was something in Jesus that she hadn't saw in anybody else. There was something about that Jew that no other Jew had ever showed her. I'm a Samaritan. You ain't supposed to have nothing to do with me. But when she asked, she got what she asked for. You know what she done? Those ladies is ashamed of her. Didn't want them about her. She run back into the city and said, come and see a man that's told me all things. And at the noonday hour, they got together and free in the city rejoiced. And they shouted and they had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because at the noon hour, she had an experience with the Lord. Fellas, I want to tell you, he's the same God today as he was in David's day. He's still doing the same work and the same miracles in the heart of men as he done in those days. And let me say this morning as we come, and I just want to be a little help, and I just want to be a little encouragement to you this morning. Fellas, keep your chin up. You might have somebody in your church or your mission work that's giving you a hard time. Don't dwell on that. Look at them old saints of God that loves God, and you preach, you'll hold her hand up and holler, amen. Sick you on just a little bit. Get your eyes on them. Until Jesus meets with that other crowd, you can't help them and he can't either. Until they come willing to meet with him. And then when he does, he'll turn it around. Amen. When I worked at Public Works as a young man, I always enjoyed going to work, Brother Pastor. My daddy taught me this. He said, now, son, we're going out to the cornfield. And there's going to be little rocks and there's going to be big rocks. But he said, what we're going to do, we're going to hold the corn because the harvest is coming. And that's going to be bread on the table. And he said, don't hang around the rocks too much. Just work around the corn. And he said, enjoy doing it. And when I went to work, every job has its disadvantages. Every one of them. But look at it, of those things that you like to do about that job. And you can go home a whole lot better shape in the evening than you did in the morning when you went to work. Brother Pastor, for 42 years, pastoring folks, I had some that didn't understand me. I had some that turned on me. But you know what? I didn't dwell on that. I dwelled on them that were faithful of coming. He said, we just want to meet with him. And just let me take this blessed old book and just open it up and break them some bread. Woo! Out of the book. And boy, I could leave and go to the house and say, thank God we've been with Jesus today. See souls get saved. People added to the church. And you know, if you leave that crowd alone, you know what happened? They'll either get right or they'll ease out the door and they'll go on their way. You can just keep on serving God. Don't just get hung up on somebody that's needling you and you just hang around there. No. Thank God, I'm glad this old gal, she just didn't let Jesus needle her that day. She seen there's something in him different than any man she'd ever met. And thank God he had the answer to her problems. And I just want to tell you and I this morning, he still has the answer to our problems. Father, Lord Jesus,